Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, I thank you for joining in, brothers and sisters. And today we're going to get back into our study of man, the measure of all things. Did you hear that thunder just a minute ago? I just left that in there. I told you all these recordings are, there's no editing of them unless I have said something wrong and I go back and try to correct it and one of y'all remind me that I said something wrong, but that's all right. The Lord's I try to cut out all the noise behind these things so we can hear it clearly and hear God's word clearly and study together just as good as possible, you know. But you hear that? And it just started. The Lord just started that. So we'll listen to that while we study God's Word. And it's amazing because today we're going to go into the part of our study, man, the measure of all things. We talked about man's final state on the last recording. This recording, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ's relation to man. Man, the measure of all things. Wonder what, out of all the studying that we've done so far concerning this matter of man, the measure of all things, is he really the measure of all things? Well, according to the Bible, he started out that way. He started out that way. And the more you study it, the more you find out that God made man in his own image. And then we see man's his beginning, his beginning state, and then the present state, and then the final state. And all these things are scriptural. But what do you suppose the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of all men, thinks about this matter of man, the measure of all things? What do you think his response and his reaction to this thing is? When he hears this thing or hears somebody say, man is the measure of all things, what do you think the Lord thinks about that? Probably just like that thunder behind us there, huh? And that's not no accident. The Lord might be adding that in here for us just to let us know what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about this matter of man, the measure of all things. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a very good question. You know, it seemed like the writer of that verse had a better idea of man's true relationship with the Lord than man in this society in 2022. Man in 2022, the fact of the matter is that he doesn't even care what God thinks of him. All he cares about is what he thinks of himself and fulfilling his lusts. It's everywhere. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are sincere and mean business with the Lord are living for the Lord from their heart and they're sincere as they know how to be. That's not at all what we're talking about. We're talking about society as a whole, mankind. Now, let's pause for a minute and see how the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing beforehand what man thinks of him, I mean, you take it right now. What does the Lord Jesus Christ, if you had to write it down, what does the Lord Jesus Christ think of man's attitude toward himself right now? Man, the measure of all things. What do you suppose the Lord Jesus Christ's thoughts about that thing is? Well, we're going to stop just a minute. And, you know, even the writer there said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why, Lord, why do you even think of man? Why do you even take time to think about man? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Why do you spend any time with mankind at all? You know, that's a good question. But let's take some time and see what the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing beforehand what man was going to think of him, and knowing beforehand what in 2022, not only back whenever the Lord was born, from the beginning of when the Lord was born, and then he was crucified, and then he resurrected and ascended, but all the way up until today, man hasn't changed that much. Sin has not changed. Man, the measure of all things, has not changed his thoughts and attitudes toward the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole, as mankind. Let's see what the Lord thinks about it and just look at a few things in Scripture and see the Lord Jesus Christ's relation to man in spite of man, the measure of all things. Well, the first thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ gives light to men. In spite of man thinking that he is the measure of all things and boasting the matter and deceiving himself and all the things in the Scripture that the Lord says about man being true, the Lord Jesus Christ still gives light to men. He makes it possible for men to see the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 12, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's us. That's you and I. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we received him, he gave us power to become the sons of God. And God the Holy Ghost came in and circumcised us spiritually and made us the sons of God and redeemed us and took away our sins. What do you suppose the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about this matter of man, the measure of all things, and still does what he does, and him being the light? How can man be the measure of all things when he has no light without the Lord Jesus Christ? Man has absolutely no idea about anything, any truth, anything. No knowledge, no wisdom. I mean, man has his own kind of wisdom and has his own kinds of knowledge and seeks knowledge and all this and blabbity, blabbity, blab. But having light, the true light, the light that lighteth all men, man does not have unless he goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gives light to men, gives light to men. That's not all. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's relation to man. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ would still give light to men that are sinners and that sin against him knowingly, like you and I did, and still move to give us light, bring us to him, draw us to him to give us light about being born again, and bring us to him. He is the light. And bring us to him, and draw us to him. That's not all. The Lord Jesus Christ, another thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ knows the nature of man. He knew the nature of men before he came and was incarnated into a human being. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, in John chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was in man. What was in man was not in the Lord Jesus Christ as a human being. Jesus was not a sinner. He was flesh and blood, but he was God's blood. It was God's blood. And Jesus was indeed a human being, a man, the Son of God, born of a woman, a human being. But he was not like men. Jesus knew what was in man before he went to the cross, before he came, before the Lord Jesus Christ came and was incarnated. He knew what was in man. He knew what man was going to do. He knew man's nature, and he knew his behavior. Wonder what the Lord thinks about man, the measure of all things. Isn't the Lord wonderful, and the compassionate heart that the Lord has, and the long-suffering the Bible teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord knows the nature of man. He not only knows the nature of man, but he is the light that he is the light that man needs. And he brought that light. John the Baptist was witness of that light. He was not the light, but he came to testify of the light. And Jesus Christ came into the world and brought light to men. But not only that, he knew the nature of men and still knows the nature of men. And men are still being born again and drawn to the light. Listen to this scripture, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Jesus not only knew what was in man, but he knows the evil that are in men's hearts. He knows the thoughts of the heart. He knows not only the heart, but he knows the intent of the heart. He not only knows what you think, but he knows why you're thinking it. Why you're thinking it. But yet, he still tolerates man the measure of all things. This matter and this title, excuse me. Wow. This title, Man the Measure of All Things, I think that's why the Lord... This has never happened before, and I've got over 230, 240 hours of teaching on these recordings so far, and this has never happened, where the Lord made that thunder and lightning and storming so loud behind me. Interesting. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, the Bible says that Jesus knew the evil that was in men's hearts. He knew the evil. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's relation to man. Man says he's the measure of all things. Is man the measure of all things? Well, Jesus said he knows, and his relationship with man, he knows what man is. He claimed to know what man. He said he knew what man was. He said he knew what was in man. And he also said he knew the thoughts of the hearts of men. If the Lord were to break down the thoughts of our hearts just today, now I'm talking about myself for sure, but if he was to take the thoughts of our hearts, now we as Christians ought to be busy about controlling our thoughts. Whenever a thought enters in that's not supposed to be in our minds, or that we're not supposed to be entertaining, and they do, especially when you're trying to keep a clean thought and clean mind, when one enters in and you rebuke it and cast it out and don't accept it as your thought, then it's not your thought. You rejected it. Okay, but if he was to take all of our thoughts today that we did entertain and put them on a reel and play them on the wall there in front of us, I believe a bunch of us would be walking away with our tail between our legs, wouldn't we? It would humble us. Because even Christians, people that are unsaved, don't care about their thought life. Their thought life, the society and the devil and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life rule their thinking. But a Christian, when he's born again and he is in God's Word and he's studying the Word of God and putting the thoughts of what God's Word means and says and studying, like you are right now, and putting these things into your mind and into your heart, we still have difficulty, but we're fighting for the different reasons, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're fighting for different reasons. But the Lord knows and gives, the Lord gives light to men in spite of man, saying he is the measure of all things, and the Lord knows the nature of man. He knows man, he knows if man is the measure of all things or not. He's been there from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ was not Jesus Christ until he was born as a human man. Jesus Christ is a man. He's a human man. He was named, and they shall call his name Jesus. Jesus Christ was the Word of God before he was born, and he was incarnated into a man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You getting this? The Lord Jesus Christ knows the nature of man. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, listen. If ye then, this is Jesus talking, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Jesus said that you were evil. Now, he wouldn't call us evil right now because we're not evil. We've been regenerated. The only part of you that's no good is your flesh. But that's going to get fixed when the Lord comes back, or either you die and leave it. When the Lord comes back, we're getting new bodies. But you are not evil right now. You're still you're not a sinner. You're not even a sinner. You're a saint that sins. Big difference, big difference. But the Lord said that if ye being evil, know how to give good gifts. I'm sorry about all these noises going on. I don't know what's going on here. I guess the enemy doesn't like this. I do pray before I start these things because it seems like nothing happens. I mean, nothing goes on until I start one of these recordings and start talking about God's Word. And it doesn't surprise me anymore. But if you're hearing all these things, it's probably something to do with that. But the Lord did say, if ye then being evil. He said that man is evil. Man is evil. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the nature of men. Now remember, Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning and was the Word of God. He has known of man's nature since Adam and Eve. The Lord knows yours and my nature through and through. The Bible says that he is conforming us into the image of Christ. God the Holy Ghost dwells in us, and he is teaching us and guiding us and conforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's changing our thinking. He's changing our behavior. He's changing our desires, our affections. He's changing these things. And you're going to like what he's turning you into. All you have to do is agree with him and obey. And obey. What else? Not only we're talking about Jesus Christ's relation to man in the study of man, the measure of all things. The Lord Jesus Christ gives light to men. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the nature of men. And not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came in the form and fashion and likeness of man's sinful flesh. Out of all the things that the Lord could have came and presented himself as on this earth, he came as the very man that needed to be saved. That was the sinner that fell, that disobeyed God. He came in the image of man and the form of man and the fashion of man. Listen what the Bible says in Hebrews. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We don't have to be scared of death anymore. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He took on flesh. He took on flesh, just like what we have. Except without sin. Without sin. That's why his body didn't corrupt when he was in the grave. Because sin bringeth forth death. When Jesus died, his body did not corrupt. Because he was not a sinner. You see? But he came in the form and the fashion and the likeness of man's sinful flesh. Seems like man, the measure of all things, really needed something, huh? Man, the measure of all things, needed something so bad that it took God, the Son of God, to provide it. What else? Philippians, well, Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do," remember last recording we was talking about the law? "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Amen. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. His body and his flesh was like ours, our sinful flesh, except without sin. In the likeness of it. We're talking about that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came in the form and the fashion and the likeness of man's sinful flesh. Seemed like a man, the measure of all things, wouldn't need God to come and do things like that for him. Seemed like man, the measure of all things, would not be in such a manner as a sinner that it would take God himself to come and pay the penalty so that he could be released from that thing and saved from that thing and redeemed from that thing. Doesn't it? Man, the measure of all things. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." This is the Word of God taking on the form of a servant. What form? A body. A body. And not only a body, but a body. The Word of God incarnated into a human body, the form of a human body, and became a servant to man. And was made in the likeness of men, the Bible says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, the most important, what we just got through reading there is the most important, significant thing that has ever happened in time and eternity that we know about. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself came in the fashion of a man and the likeness of a man, and the form of a man to save men. What does being like something mean? Well, being like something is having the form of it, being similar to it, resembling it. The Lord, the Word of God, incarnated into a body that resembled human beings. Having the same or some of the same characteristics. The Lord Jesus Christ had hands, He had a head, He had feet, He had fingers, He had a tongue, He had a mouth, a nose, He had ears and hair and a body. The only thing that He didn't have was the evil and the curse and the sin that was in man. What's likeness mean? He came like the Bible says. And then it says likeness. Well, likeness is, just seems means similarity in appearance. When you look at Him, He looks like a human being. The Bible says in some places that Jesus, whenever they were going to take Him, and Jesus knew that it wasn't His time to be crucified yet, that He slipped away in the crowd and they couldn't find Him because He looked just like everybody else. He looked like a human being. There was nothing about Him that stood out that somebody could point at Him and say, there's Jesus, there's the Son of God. I mean, it's just, He was a human being. Jesus was a human being. He was similar in appearance and character of nature between persons. He acted like a human being. He behaved like a human being. He did the things that human beings do, with exception of one. And that was being a sinner and sinning. And going in any kind of way against God. He became obedient unto death, the Bible says. He never sinned once. But in all other ways and likeness and form, what's form? Well, it's his appearance, just like the likeness. His appearance or of something or someone. He appeared to be a human being. His form was in the form of a human being. Form means like a shape, given a shape. And when He was born, the Bible called Him the babe. He was a baby. He was born out of a womb of His mother Mary, and was born and looked just like a baby human being. And He took a breath and drew air into His lungs, just like a human baby does. And was probably crying at the same time. Yeah. He came like a human being, in the likeness of a human being, in the form of a human being, and the fashion of a human being. That's not all. What he's talking about, what is Jesus Christ's relation to a man? We're talking about the man, the measure of all things. Jesus Christ can't measure up to the man, the measure of all things, can He? Well, I don't know. He gives light to men. He knows the nature of man. He knows that man is evil. He said, if you being evil, and it said that Jesus, knowing what was in man, Jesus can't measure up to a man, the measure of all things, can He? The Lord Jesus Christ came in the form and the fashion and the likeness of man's sinful flesh. And man still has the gall to call himself the man, the measure of all things. I am man. And that's not all. One other, or a couple other ones. Here's another one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator for man to return to God. Now, who does it sound like who's doing the most for who? The man, the measure of all things. If he was the measure of all things, he'd be doing things for the Lord, wouldn't he? He'd be the measure of all things. You couldn't point a finger at him because he's the measure. He's the one. But it seems to be the other way around since we're reading the scriptures here. Seems like the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that has been the one doing everything for the man, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator for man to return to God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, "For there is one God," sorry Muhammad, "and one mediator," sorry Buddha, "between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." The Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator for man to return to God. You know, man's come up with all these stinking gods, and that's something that just really turned the Lord inside out in the Old Testament. When you read and study in the Old Testament, one thing that has always remained the same is the Lord wanting to vomit because man's always fooling around with something that he calls a god, and it ends up being a piece of wood that looks at that man. The Lord made fun of him. He says, "Man, the measure of all things." Yeah, okay, you take a log and you cut it down and you cut it in half and you use half of it to build you a fire to eat your meal with. And then after you eat your meal, you take the other half of the log and you go carve it into a shape that has ears that can't hear, has a mouth that can't speak, has legs that can't walk, eyes that can't see, and you bow down and worship it. Now, who's the man of measure? Man, who's the measure of all things? When you read about the Lord's and the way he feels about one thing that really burned the Lord up was messing around with idols. And it hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. Man, the measure of all things. Why, you can see a bunch of bobbleheads, gods, on people's dash in their car if you just look at them when you pull up the red light. I seen one today. Had them rosary beads hanging around the rear view mirror and had one of those big silver hats laying up on the dashboard and worshiping. But yet, Jesus said he's the only mediator between man and God. If man is the measure of all things, it seems like he wouldn't need a mediator to get to God, wouldn't it? And if he's the measure of all things, and he did need a mediator, he would be smart enough, if he was the measure of all things, to pick the right one. Why, there's people walking around in this world today in 2022 that say that they came from a monkey. Oh, my. What's a mediator? Well, a mediator's a negotiator. He's somebody who acts as a link between two parties. He's a go-between. An intercessor, intermediary, an intermediate. Somebody's in between two parties that need to come together. Takes one by the hand, the other by the hand, and where they were enemies, he brings them both together and joins them together again. You see? A mediator. And the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Who's the man, the measure of all things? Now let's get this thing right now. Man says he is the measure of all things. Man, the measure of all things. I'm kind of getting sick of the statement myself, aren't you? It's starting to turn a little sour tasting, isn't it? Especially since we see what the Lord Jesus Christ did for this man, the measure of all things. I mean, come on, let's tell the truth. Let's just Let's just see the truth. Well, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Man has, from the Tower of Babel, been trying to figure a way out to get to God and force God to do things his way, to no avail. Some people, well, many people, rather than come to God his way and be saved, would rather take their chances going in into eternity to meet him on their own terms. That's a bad mistake. That's a bad, bad mistake. Hell is the end of the path. If this, and it is, Scripture above, the one that we just got through reading in 1 Timothy, that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, if it is, and it is indeed God's word, then the Pope, or any Pope, or Muhammad, or Gandhi, or Buddha, cannot stand between God and men, or reconcile them. Did you get that? Only one mediator. And then it gave his name, Christ Jesus. Who you going to believe? I know who I believe. I know the Lord, don't you? Of course you do. That's why you're just studying his word. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that's not all. Not only does the Lord Jesus Christ give light to man, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the nature of man. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came in the form and the fashion and the likeness of men's sinful flesh. And not only did the Lord Jesus Christ, is he the only mediator for man to return to God, and the only reason a man would need to return to God is that he has been separated from God. And when a man is born, he is separated from God. He's born the enemy of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for man on purpose. There wasn't no accident. It wasn't something that was just something that we can do. This thing was on purpose. Remember we read just a while ago that he gave himself a ransom for all? That's exactly the way it was. It was between God the Father and God the Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ was being obedient to the Father's plan. And he did it because he wanted to, because he knew what was in man, and he knew man was evil. And man had no way out except through him. One mediator between God and the man, the measure of all things. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 through 28, listen to this. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter, listen to this, chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," why, silver and gold, man, that's what the man, the measure of all things, lusts after almost the most, isn't it? That's one of his biggest lusts, is silver and gold. Man, the measure of all things. "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The Bible plainly and as a matter of fact tells you that the Lord died for you. Isn't that what it said? It said, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." It plainly says that. I wonder who is the measure of all things. Really, really. That's what the Bible says. That he was manifest in these last times for you. Now, you and every other person on this earth only has to do one thing after hearing that. Believe it and act upon it, if you haven't already. Or not believe it and forget it. Whatever you decide or anyone else does, one fact's going to remain. You know you sin and who it is against. And you know that you're going to die. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his best to try to restore a relationship with man. He's done everything that's necessary and that is needful in the mind and the heart of the Lord, God the Father. In his heart, everything has been accomplished, and Jesus completed everything. He said, "It is finished." He completed every jot and tittle and detail that needed to be done for the man that he knows was evil, that has evil, you being evil, and he knew what was in man, for this man, the measure of all things. He done all this and made sure it was complete and finished. So that your relationship with him and with the Father could be restored. But he's not going to force anybody. The Lord is not going to force you to accept him, or to live for him, or to love him, or to appreciate him, or to give him reverence and give him respect and give him glory with the rest of your life because of what he's done for you. I don't know what you think of yourself as a man, or as the... whether you think of yourself as the measure of all things. I know there's Christians out there that think they're the measure of all things. Yeah, haughty, nose up in the air, blabbity, blabbity, blab. The Lord said, "Humble yourselves and be ye humble." And sometimes Christians do that. They think they're the measure of all things. But mankind does think that way, don't they? Are they right? I mean, we've been studying this thing now. Let's be fair. Is man the measure of all things? Well, just studying what the Lord Jesus Christ's relationship with man is for the past hour. I'd have to disagree with man about that. And not only because of that, because I live with myself and I know who I am and I know what's in me and I know that I'm not the measure of all things. Don't you? You should. I mean, it's a battle, isn't it? If you're sincere, and I believe that you are, else you wouldn't be listening to this, and you wouldn't be studying like you do, because you love the Lord and you want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. I was going to move on into our next category with this study, man, the measure of all things, but I think we've had enough, and we'll just end right there with that thought in our minds and in our hearts of what the Lord Jesus Christ's relation to this man, the measure of all things. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ could have came and brought in the kingdom anytime He wanted to, but He's doing that perfectly also. And everything that I've seen that we've studied today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's relationship has been for the benefit of the man that thinks he's the measure of all things. Us. Brothers and sisters, we need to get to truth and understand it and really know who is the measure of all things. And get things fixed and get them in their right order and get them in the right place, don't we? We're not the measure of all things. Mankind is not the measure of all things. And all this foolishness and just stupid, idiotic, ridiculous behavior of man as in 2022, where we are right now. I don't know when you're listening to this, but 2022, I can verify and vouch that you can also, that this world is not getting better. And man is not given the fruit. There's no fruit coming off of mankind that would testify that he is the measure of all things. That's not what the fruit is showing. But it should be for us. For people that are born again. The Lord's done all this stuff for us and has completely cleaned the slate for us, taken away our sin. And we're no longer sinners. We are the sons of God. And we're in the family of God. And we are accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. If we know better, we ought to do better, shouldn't we? Yep, we should. Man, the measure of all things. What an interesting study. Next time we're going to start, next time we come together, well, let me give you these verses first, but next time we come together, we're going to talk about some certain aspects of man to consider. Now, we're still making our minds up about this man, the measure of all things. We started out and he was perfect. And then we came to the present state, and the present state cut things in half. Either he's born again, or either he's headed to hell. And then in the future state, he's going to be there for eternity. And then we see what Jesus has done concerning this man, the measure of all things. And now, on this next recording, we're going to talk about certain aspects of man that we need to take in consideration when it comes to him being the measure of all things. We'll talk about some of that soon. Okay? All right. Well, let me give you these verses, okay? And we'll go from there. All right. How about Psalm chapter 8, verse 4? That's where we began. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. John chapter 3, verse 36. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 through 28. And the last verse we read today was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Amen. That's what makes our study real and makes our study true, is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that that makes any difference in our study and the world's study. It's the only thing, because thy word is truth. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, the Bible says. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And when the Bible says that the Lord has magnified His word above His name. And the Lord honors His word. All the prophets and the people of the Old Testament and all of the people of the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, and the ones that the Lord inspired to write down the words for us, all trusted God's words. And we should trust them too. I trust them. I stake my soul on them. Don't you? Amen. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. What a wonderful God we have. And let's give him praise and the glory that he deserves. Thank you for studying with us today concerning this matter of man, the measure of all things. Let's get this thing in the right place. And we will. We're going to study some more about it on this next one. I look forward to studying with you. Thank you for honoring the Lord. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.